I've got 6 o'clock. Let's go ahead and get started, and I'll call the meeting to order. Thank you all for zooming in. Let's start the meeting with, I'll ask the clerk if she'll call the roll, please.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes, present.
Commissioner Atkins?
Yes, present.
Commissioner Armstrong?
Present.
Commissioner Barlow?
Present.
Commissioner Copeland?
Here.
Commissioner Donovan?
Tommy's on mute.
Okay. Commissioner Fee?
Here.
Commissioner Kelly?
Here.
Commissioner Mason?
He's on his honeymoon.
Commissioner Murphy?
Here.
Commissioner Nathy?
Present.
Commissioner Schoeper?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Sneed?
Here.
Commissioner Turner?
Here.
Commissioner Twisdale?
Here.
Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
And Commissioner Wooten?
Here.
That's 17 present.
All right, Commissioner, we have 17 present. I declare that to be a quorum. The next item were invocation. I'm going to ask Commissioner Wilson here if he'll give us our invocation.
Let's all bow our heads for just a moment. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We pray for our country as we transition from one administration to another, Lord. We continue to pray for all those families who have been affected by this terrible pandemic. I doubt that there's anybody on this Zoom call tonight who doesn't know someone who has been affected by this terrible pandemic. Lord, we ask that you be with the medical personnel who continue to work diligently to take care of all of these patients. We're thankful that we have a vaccine. We ask you for patience while we go through the process of everyone being able to have access to the vaccine. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to meet tonight to serve the citizens of Tipton County. And we ask that your guiding hand would be with us as we do that. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, one addition to add to the agenda is Zach Walker. I don't believe we've reappointed him to the Board of Zoning Appeals. His term is up, so we'll need to consider that. That's an addition to the agenda. Item number 4 are the minutes of the previous month's meeting. Do we have a motion that the minutes of the previous month's meeting be approved?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Commissioner Bob Wilson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Copeland. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion to approve the minutes of the previous month's meeting? All right, without objection, Jen, then the motion carries and the previous month's meeting minutes are approved. Item number 5 is the election of notaries.
David M. Berryman, Brenda Gatlin, Melanie M. Griffin, Charles R. McFarland Jr., and Jan Jackson Knoll.
Would anyone like to add a name to that list? If not, do we have a motion that those individuals be elected as notaries in Tipton County?
So moved. Motion.
A motion is made by Commissioner Jimbo Atkins. Who seconded that?
Nafee.
Who?
Nafee.
Commissioner Nafee? All right. Yes, that's usually Commissioner Mason's job, but he's not with us here tonight. Thank you, Commissioner Nafee.
Yes, sir.
All right, we've got a motion and a second that those individuals be elected as notaries in Tipton County. Is there any discussion or any questions on the motion? Any objection to approving that list of notaries? All right, without objection, then the motion carries and those individuals that are duly elected as notaries in Tipton County. Item number six on the agenda is consideration of appointments to the audit committee. The chair recommends that the commissioners Fee, Wilson, and Adams be reappointed for the ensuing year. They are currently serving on the audit committee, and we had no findings of the audit, so their upcoming audit committee meeting should be a fairly short one, but the chair recommends that these three commissioners be reappointed to the audit committee. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. Donovan.
I'll second it. Armstrong.
All right. Motion is made by Commissioner Donovan, second by Commissioner Armstrong. Was it?
Yeah.
All right. Any discussions on the motion? Any objection to the motion to approve those three commissioners as members of the audit committee? With that objection, then the motion carries and Commissioner Fee, Commissioner Wilson, and Commissioner Adams are reappointed for the ensuing year to the Tipton County Audit Committee. The economic report, I wanted to give this to you all. I'm going to give it to you verbally, and anybody needs copies, I can get it. I can just email it to you because I've got it on a, I think I put it in PowerPoint. The reason I want to do it, I try to do it this time of year, and it's not going to be a lot. I know we're there's something about a ball game tonight. Someone said, I'm not sure if there's anything tonight or not. But the Center for Business and Economic Research at UT, Dr. Fox out there, he always presents a report to the governor of the state of Tennessee each year, and his latest report is out, and his report basically is his prediction and the Center for Business and Economic Research's prediction on what the economy in the upcoming year in Tennessee is going to look like. So I wanted to just give you some of the highlights of that without really getting into the details of the report. And here's some of the highlights of the report. It was interesting. Dr. Fox pointed out that the economy in Tennessee has enjoyed its longest continuous economic expansion, and that was 10 years and 8 months. Since the 1850s. Now, of course, that ended last February when the pandemic hit and the economy started tanking. When the pandemic hit, the country essentially went into a recession. That was the 33rd recession that this country has experienced. If you look at the details of his report, it's clear that just about everything he predicts, he prefaces with, it depends on what the virus does. It depends on how many people get vaccinated. It depends on whether there's herd immunity or whether the spread is somewhat contained. But here are the numbers that Dr. Fox and Sieber are predicting for Tennessee in this upcoming year. They're predicting that Tennessee's real gross domestic product will increase by 2.9% in 2021, and that it'll increase by 3.6% in 2022. Now, to folks on the budget committee, it's interesting to note when you've got those kind of predictions, that's That's pretty good growth for both 2021 and 2022. So it gives you some comfort when you start making revenue predictions for the 21-22 budget year that's coming up. CBER also predicts that the non-farm jobs will increase by 2.2% in 2021 and 2% in 2022, but they're not predicting that non-farm jobs will fully recover until the third quarter of 2023. So that's going to be drug out. And again, a lot of that depends on what the virus does. He also points out that some sections of the economy in Tennessee are going to, as he explained it, show scarring well into the year of 2023 and beyond. And the industry that he points out that's going to be hit the hardest, of course, is Tennessee's leisure and hospitality sector. That sector, according to Dr. Fox and Sieber, will not fully recover until well after 2024. So the hospitality and the leisure restaurants, those places, obviously they've been hit pretty hard, and it's going to be a long slog for those those industries in the leisure and hospitality sector. The manufacturing sector is projected to remain below pre-pandemic levels throughout the rest of this decade. Recovery is going to be uneven, and it looks like that the sectors that rely on business-to-business internet sales are the ones that are going to continue to struggle the most. If you look at Tennessee's unemployment rate, it's expected to average about 7.5%. When they look back and take 2020 as a whole, and then it's expected to fall in the calendar year 2021 from 7.5% down to 5.2% in 2021. So that's a pretty substantial drop in unemployment rate. He does, again, emphasize that unemployment rates, depending on the sector, are going to vary widely, that if you work in the hotel and in restaurant industries, those unemployment rates are going to be much higher than in some of the other industries that aren't affected as badly. It looks like, according to CBER, that taxable sales are going to grow about 1.7% when you look at 2020 as a whole. That's not a whole lot, but he's predicting, again, the budget committee, he's predicting that taxable sales in Tennessee should grow at a much stronger rate of 4.7% in 2021. So it's comforting to note that these sales, a lot of them are going to come back, and quite frankly, in the last quarter of 2020, snap back pretty positive. Since April, Tennessee has seen positive month-over-month job growth, but we still have about 131,000 fewer jobs. This was as of October in Tennessee than we had in February when the pandemic hit. So net jobs were still down about 131,000 as of the last of October 2020. So you can see that the economists, the folks that do this for a living, they are saying that we're coming out of it. It's slower in some industries, but the unemployment rate is expected to continue to drop, and taxable sales are supposed to increase, according to this, pretty substantially over the next calendar year. If you look at Tipton County's revenue, our revenue is actually up, and it's difficult to determine if that's because of the resiliency of the housing industry because of the low mortgage rates, or if it's a combination of that and the fact that the Supreme Court overturned that decision in October 1, 2019, we started getting a substantial amount of sales tax coming to, you know, local governments, county local governments in Tennessee, based on internet sales and where the sale is actually generated from. That has increased Tipton County's sales tax substantially, since the courts ruled and overturned that decision and Tennessee started collecting internet sales tax, not based on whether or not a company had a physical presence in the state, but based on whether or not that company had at least $500,000 of gross sales per year in Tennessee. So there are a lot of companies, online companies, that weren't paying local option sales and use tax that are paying it, now. So that kind of gives you an idea of where the economy, according to the Center for Business and Economic Research, thinks that we're going. And let me just say this, in the COVID report, I think pretty much everybody knows someone who's really gotten sick or passed away because of this disease. So I'm not going to get into all that. We're at 62 deaths in Tipton County now. And it's going to climb further. December was an awful month. January is going to be an awful month as well. We've got 651 active cases right now. Our total cases to date are 5,964. So we're about to hit 6,000, cases overall since this thing started. 61 deaths. Our positivity rate now is about twice what the Center for Disease Control says puts you in the red zone. 10% positivity rate puts you in the red zone. We're hovering between 18% and 20% pretty consistently now. In terms of the Tipton County government, the planning department has just been hit extremely hard. William Veazey, the director, is tested positive for COVID. He's sick. Rick Irwin, Keith Beasley, the two building inspectors for the county, they've both tested positive. Their wives have tested positive. And Rick Irwin's wife runs the Tennessee Driver's License Bureau there in the building. And, she's tested positive. And I think they were off last week, just folks quarantining. And Leo Smith, who does soil perk tests for the state of Tennessee Department of Health. He's got an office right there with him, and he's tested positive, and his wife tested positive. So pretty much it's gone through that place. Miss Pat that's down there and Sean Anderson, they were on vacation, so I think they're about the only ones down there now kind of holding the fort. But as far as I know, they haven't tested positive or been sick, so they're kind of running the show down there. So this stuff is knocks us for a loop again in terms of some of the services that Tipton County provides. Of course, I think you all know W.T. Bailey, the finance director, he tested positive. He's been off because he's been quarantined because his wife, who's going to have a baby next month, Shelby, tested positive a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, 2 weeks, something a little over. So he's been quarantined. Now he's positive. She's gone back to work today, but he's going to be out another 2 weeks. So it's just something that we're having to deal with. And if you look around the county, there are a lot of folks that are having to deal with that. And the Public Works Department's had their fair share of COVID cases and having to move Public Works employees up to the landfill because you can't close that. To fill in, and so we're dealing with it as best we can. The vaccination rollout has been awful. I don't know much better way to put it. I'd like to put a positive spin on it, and I've tried to think about how I could do that. It just hadn't been good at all. I think over time it's going to get a lot better, but right now there's just confusion on the federal level. There's confusion on the state level. You don't know how much vaccine you're going to get. If you're the local health department, until you actually receive the vaccine, you can't make the appointments because you don't know how many appointments you can make. They should be getting more vaccine either today or tomorrow. I'm not sure which. So they'll start making appointments again. But it's just been unreliable. It's been shaky. You think you're getting X amount and you don't get that much. You think you're going to get it on a certain day and you don't get it on a certain day. So it's been difficult to make appointments. Folks that are age 75 and older, they're set up so that they can come in and get vaccinated, but about after 10 or 15% of the folks over 75 years old got vaccinated, you still like another 80, 85% to go. The state announced that educators were now supposed to call and get vaccinated. Well, we still like 85% of the 75 and older. And all of a sudden the educators started calling based on what the state told them to do. It overloaded the phone system. 2,900% increase in telephone calls to the health department. You can only take that number of calls if you're actually a call center. And of course the health department is not. So after Mr. Boyd Hendrick and Sean Anderson, and they got with Sandstorm and they beefed it up so that they can take a lot more calls now. And the state has also got a toll-free number you can call in Jackson. It's a regional number. That's going to help. But at the end of the day, they just don't have the boots on the ground and the manpower to get these vaccinations done as quickly as possible so that we start getting some immunity out there. And then it begs the question, if you're having this much trouble rolling out on the first shot, what about those folks that are supposed to start taking the bank, the second shot here the next day or so? How are those folks going to get in on the date they're supposed to get there if you don't know if you're going to have the vaccine or if you don't know if you can call and get through? So that's where we are. That's the reality. That's where we are on it. And we're doing everything that we know to do to try to beef things up to help. Now, having said that, what I wish they would do is I wish the federal government and the state government would deal with this pandemic and this virus just like they deal with a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake. Get everybody on the ground. Call out the National Guard, not just a few of them, call out all of them. Activate FEMA and have FEMA come in with boots on the ground as well. Treat it just like you would treat a tornado or a hurricane. And let's get folks out there and get the thing taken care of. So far, that hasn't happened. So we're going to keep plugging along. And as the vaccines come in, I think the health department is going to do a pretty good job of letting folks know they need to come in and get an appointment. But this is going to be a long, drawn-out process unless something substantially different happens than is happening right now. Rural health departments in Tennessee we're not set up and we're not ever meant to deal with something the size and the scale of this virus pandemic. They just weren't, and they're having real trouble coping with it. Now, that's my COVID-19 report, and that's my speech. We need to continue to social distance, wash our hands, and wear masks. That's until this thing gets a little bit organized and more folks get vaccinated. That's the only protection you got. One good thing in talking to Parker Harris and the folks in the hospital and some of the medical people is the medical folks they're wise enough as they go along. These are smart folks, you know, and they are treating the treatment for this virus. They seem to be catching on as the best way to treat this now. And so I think more folks are getting sick, but they're surviving the virus because the medical folks are learning more about the virus as we go along. Are there any questions regarding the COVID-19, the virus as it stands right now?
Mr. Chairman, this is Schofer. I had a question. I was going to ask, has anyone from the health department checked into utilizing our MRC, our Medical Reserve Corps? And because we have a local chapter that's reached out, and this is essentially retired nurses who still have a license who are authorized to give shots and that who can volunteer their time and are willing to volunteer their time to come down and assist in any need that the health department has. I just didn't know if anyone had looked into that. And then my other concern, I expressed frustration with Commissioner Donovan, and I expressed it with you as well on how inconsistent and not successful this vaccination rollout has been. I've noted that we've had a few people who've taken advantage of this situation. We've had a few people who are no longer teachers within our education system, but have gone up to the health department and gotten the vaccine because they either still have a teacher ID or a copy of a teacher licensure. And I have real concerns that our health department isn't doing their due diligence to check this as well. We've had another situation where a person who's not teaching in Tipton County anymore and has located to Haywood County and teaching in Haywood County, but was vaccinated in Tipton County. And so it's these people here that are taking advantage of a situation for those who are 75 and older who desperately need this. And so I just want our health department to really understand that, you know, we need to be checking IDs and making sure that those who meet the criteria are actually getting it. And I've already talked to Dr. Combs about people who used to teach but haven't taught in a while but still have that teacher ID who have already called in and now who have taken an opportunity away from educators that could have gotten it. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what the health department's policy is. I just know they need to be trying to get as many people vaccinated as they can. They're certainly not going to have the manpower to go out and investigate whether someone is actually who they say they are or where they live. And I'm sure there's some of that going on. But at the end of the day, currently we've got less than 1,000 people so far vaccinated in Tipton County. And that's just way too slow get through this thing the way we need to get through it. So hopefully they can do both a better job in screening folks, but also getting folks in there and getting them out with the shot. Because that's what we've got to have. We got to have more folks with vaccine protection.
Yes, sir. I would just be interested in the MRC if anyone's contacted our medical reserve corps.
Not that I know of. I don't know if they have. I do know, I think, that they were looking at the possibility of using some of the nurses that are actually in the education system, some of the nurses in the education system to help assist with giving shots. And I know they were looking at that, and I don't know what the end result of that that inquiry was, but that was back when the education folks were alerted by the state that they could go in and get their vaccination, and that's when it overloaded the system and everything just kind of broke loose. Then the state, of course, reversed course and said the educators can't get it done yet, and so that confused folks even more. So to stay positive, at the end of the day, they'll get this thing worked out, but it's going to take some time, and they're going to have to be able to get more people in, get more people out, because as they get more vaccine, you know, it doesn't last forever. You got to get the shots or you're going to waste a lot of it. So hopefully that kind of coordination between the state and the federal government can take place. Of course, from our standpoint, you know, the name on the building is the Tipton County Health Department. Even though Tipton County doesn't run it, it's called the Tipton County Health Department. So, you know, I get an awful lot of calls from folks who want to know what's going on. And we've taken a lot of folks' names and numbers and submitted them to the health department down there, elderly folks who were trying to get through and couldn't. So we've helped them out with that. And I know that when the school system was eligible to get the vaccinations, that the school system was telling folks rather than call, if you'll let us know, we'll make a list and we'll submit the list to the health department, and that'll cut down on their phone usage as well. And I think that was working pretty well until, again, the state said we're going to have to wait on the education folks for a while.
Judge,
any other questions?
You want me to elaborate a little bit more on the MRCs and the school process?
Please.
The MRC volunteers have been offered up to both the local and state level with the health departments. They know that that is there if they need it. There are several volunteers that have contacted me, sent me bios, and I've sent that up to the local health department as well. So they are aware of that. On the school process, what you were saying is right. they put out the message for anybody in the school system that wanted the vaccine to contact Sherry Yarbrough. She's been in contact with me, and we've been in contact with the health department. So whenever that opens up and the number of vaccines, the number of vaccines come in, they'll contact Ms. Yarbrough, and then she will send that list into the health department. They'll start scheduling then.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Dunham. The item number 9 on the agenda is the Finance Committee report. And I think you all have gotten that. We need to send that out to you guys. Has everybody gotten a copy of the Finance report?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion to adopt the Finance report as sent out?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made by Commissioner Fee. Who seconded that?
Kelly.
Who?
Kelly.
No. Okay. Mr. Kelly. All right. Any discussion on the motion? Do you have any questions on the report?
I had a question about the EMA tower. Just how high up was this tower? And then if anyone has applied for their FCC licensure in regards to the tower yet?
Mr. Dunnett?
The tower is a 100-foot freestanding tower, and all the licensing will go through the contractor who handles, I think, the licensing. I think they help most everybody throughout the county, and they work with the 911 system, too, as far as, you know, keeping up with their licensing. So they'll handle all that.
The other item in the Finance Committee were the bids of the HVAC equipment and all, and the Finance Committee acted on that. That HVAC equipment is for the Ag Extension Office building, the depot building. The UT Ag Extension Office, as you all know, is going to be moving from the present building to the building down by the railroad track, that old building. I know Commissioner Adams has seen it in there. It's a solid building, and they seem to be excited about moving in there, but this HVA equipment is connected to a grant that we'll be getting from the Delta Regional Authority and the USDA Rural Development folks that we've applied for. All right, any other questions on the Finance Committee report? We're on the motion to adopt the report. Any further discussion? Any objection to adopting the Finance Committee report and the budget amendments? Any objection? Without objection, then the motion carries and the Finance Committee report is adopted. Do we have a report from the Public Works Committee?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Can they hear him? Can y'all hear Mr. Twisdale? Okay. Zoom on.
All right. The Tipton County Public Works Committee met in regular session on Monday, January the 4th, 2021 through the Zoom. The meeting was called to order by Chairman Twizzles, Commissioners Wilson, Wooten, Schofield, Donovan, Atkins, Murphy, Armstrong were present. Director Shannon Reed, employee Darlene Wheeler, David Gillen, and Brandon Clark were also present. Commissioner Richard Kidd was absent. Meeting was open prayer by Commissioner Murphy. A motion was made by Commissioner Wooten and seconded by Commissioner Wilson to approve the minutes for the month of December. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. Motion was made by Commissioner Murphy, seconded by Commissioner Schofield to approve the bills as reviewed for the month of December. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Donovan, seconded by Commissioner Murphy, to set the speed limit on Harvest Trail Lane at 20 miles per hour. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Donovan, seconded by Commissioner Atkins, to set the speed limit on Harvest Cove at 20 miles per hour. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Murphy and second by Commissioner Donovan, Schofer, and Atkins to adjourn. Motion passed, none opposed. The meeting adjourned 6:45. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Tipton County Public Works Report be adopted.
All right, do we have a second to the motion by Commissioner Twissel to adopt the report?
Second by Commissioner Atkins.
Who did that?
Commissioner Atkins.
All right, seconded by Commissioner Atkins. Got a motion duly seconded on the report. Any questions, any discussion? Any objection to adopting the Public Works Committee report as presented? Without objection, then the motion carries and the Public Works Committee report is adopted. Do we have a report from the General Welfare Committee?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman. General Welfare Committee met in regular session tonight via Zoom meeting at 5:30. Commissioners present were Commissioner Wooten, Donovan, Kelly, Schofer, Wilson, Atkins, Twisdale, Armstrong, and Murphy. Also present, County Executive Jeff Huffman, Budget Director W.T. Bailey, County IT Director Boyd Hendricks, and some members of the Budget and Finance Committee joined us also. Meeting was called to order by Chairman Wilson, who established that a quorum was present. The committee reviewed the ambulance report for December 2020 submitted by Priority Ambulance Service. A motion was made by Commissioner Armstrong and seconded by Commissioner Kelly to spread the ambulance report on the minutes. That motion carries with none opposed, and since it's spread on the minutes, it will everyone will get to see a copy of that report when you receive your minutes. The committee previewed a rezoning request at 5686 Richardson Landing Road in Drummond's. There will be a public hearing February the 8th at 6 p.m. And the General Welfare Committee will make a recommendation to the full legislative body at the February meeting. There was no other business to come before the committee, Mr. Chairman. We had a motion to adjourn by Commissioner Twisdale, seconded by Commissioner Atkins, and the meeting adjourned at 5:45 p.m., and I move adoption of the report.
All right. Is there a second?
I second it, Mr. Chairman.
Motion is made by Commissioner Wilson and seconded by Commissioner Twisdale to adopt the General Welfare Committee report. Any questions, any discussions on adopting the report? Or is there any objection to approving the General Welfare Committee report? Any objection? All right, with that objection then, the motion carries and the General Welfare Committee report is adopted. Do we have a sheriff's report? I don't think we've gotten anything. The sheriff's report. That's another area. I think I believe Chief Daugherty just got back today. He's you know, he's been wrestling with this stuff as well. But I'll get with the Sheriff's Department. If they've got a report, they can submit it when they submit their report next month. There is one resolution that I have here for you all's consideration. That's a resolution to apply for a community development block grant for fire protection. I've talked to Chief Piercy about this some. And I've also talked to Evan Sanders, who owns Community Development Partners. They're the grant writing firm that we've used for a long time. The CDBG round is coming up, and rather than waste Tipton County's eligibility, what I'd like for the commission to consider is adopting this resolution that just says we're interested in applying for the CDBG grant, whatever that project is. Now, we're not sure exactly how this grant's going to work, whether we're going to apply for a grant for the Drummond's Fire Station or use it for something else. But the grant is in an amount not to exceed $400,000. I think our match based on our economic numbers is going to be somewhere around 18 to 20% of that. But I don't know if we'll even need, if we've got any needs to apply. I do know that if we're going to apply, that we've got to adopt this resolution tonight. And then if we don't want to apply, we just don't submit the paperwork or we call it off. And that would be up to you all. But I would bring this resolution to your attention if we want to proceed with the community development block grant. And I think right now, just in order to keep all of our options open, the thing to do is to adopt the resolution, and then we can get into the details between now and next month. Probably have Chief Piercy, come to you and explain in detail what we would do with the grant if it's approved. You all give me some feedback. Tell me how you want to handle this resolution.
I make that motion that we,
But the motion is to adopt the resolution, Commissioner Snead.
Yes.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Copeland. All right. Now, this is the standard resolution. And again, it mentions the $400,000. It says that if we submit the application, we're going to be responsible for whatever the match is. And again, it specifically states that it's going to be for fire protection. And that would be up, quite frankly, it would be up to the commission, and I would submit to you the fire chief to determine exactly what you want that project to be, if anything, quite frankly. All right, any discussion on adopting the resolution? Any objection to adopting the resolution? Without objection, then, the motion carries and the resolution is adopted. I believe that is all that I have.
Mr. Chairman, we had the BCA with Zach Walker.
Yes, I got it here.
I'll make a motion. Zach Walker's. Chairman.
Who made the motion?
Commissioner Schofer, I'll make the motion to reappoint Zach Walker to the BZA.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Who seconded it?
Copeland.
All right, motion is made by Commissioner Schofer, seconded by Commissioner Copeland, that Zach Walker, whose term expires in January of 2021, be reappointed to the Board of Zoning Appeals for a five-year term that would expire in January of 2026. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to reappointing Zach Walker to another five-year term on the Tipton County Board of Zoning Appeals? Any objection? Without objection, then the motion carries and Mr. Walker is duly reappointed. Now, anyone have anything else? I've noticed, Commissioner Adams, that sun hadn't gone down yet. It's been sitting there, and it's just, it's still, it doesn't look like it's moved any, as a matter of fact, but he's in a nice spot.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm a Wilson.
I'd just like to tell Ms. Gaither that Commissioner Twisdale and I will leave our reports on Nancy Helsing's desk, and she can pick those up.
I'd like to say one thing.
Mr. Twizzle, you're recognized.
I certainly want to give a big thanks to the people that has to stand out down there where they take the COVID test. In the rain and the weather and everything, they're out there. It's one more thing that I think we should look into. We need to put a porta potty or something out there if it's any way possible.
Well, I guess they're going to these in the building, aren't they?
I don't think they'll let you go in there, Mr. Chairman.
Huh?
I don't think they.
Oh, you mean for the people in the vehicle?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sign that. I need the EMA Director Donovan to look into that, if he would. Mr. Donovan, would you look into that? Give me a report tomorrow afternoon. That's a yes, I'm sure. One thing we did do that out there, we felt for him too, and we sent Ricky Norman, our maintenance guy, out there to figure out some way to get some more heat out there. And I know that Commissioner Dunbar went out there, and he and Ricky are trying to rig up something so that they've got more heat. They are wearing these DeWalt electric jackets. They try to keep you warm, but they're in a tough spot right there. They don't have much to work in. We did send them a bunch of pizzas down there, I think, last week, and they told us they appreciated that. So, but we'll look into that, Commissioner Twist.
75-year-old person sitting in line, an hour and a half, 2 hours is
75-year-old person in line 2 hours. Yeah, I understand.
I understand.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right. Anything else, commissioners? Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Chairman.
Clerk Gaither.
Yes, sir. I lost you a minute ago. Did we go over Mr. Zach Walker for the Board of Zoning Appeals?
Yes.
Okay.
We did him. We did him. Motion was by Commissioner Schofer, seconded by Commissioner Copeland.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a 5-year term till January of 2026.
Clerk Gaither, did you miss what I said also?
Maybe so. What'd you say?
Commissioner Twisdale and I will leave our report, written reports on Nancy Helsing's desk for you to pick up.
I'll get it tomorrow. Thank you.
Our next month's meeting, Commissioner, we'll have the Director of Schools, Director Combs, is going to give us his school report. Normally it comes in January, but I told him maybe we'd better back it up to February to give you a report. So he's going to have a report to give us regarding the Tipton County school system and kind of how they're dealing with the pandemic. That'll be in February. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion we adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
I second it.
Commissioner. Motion is made by Commissioner Murphy, seconded by Commissioner Atkins, it looks like. Without objection, we stand adjourned. Thank you all. Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Take care.